بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we began with the six pillars of Iman, Arkanul Iman. And the meaning of Iman according to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is, what's the meaning of Iman according to Ahlu Sunnah? What is the definition of Iman according to Ahlu Sunnah? Who knows? Adnan? ينقص بالمعصية. أحسنت. ينقص بالمعصية. It is قول باللسان, اعتقاد بالقلب, عمل بالجوارح, يزيد بالطاعة, ينقص بالمعصية. And how many branches is Iman? How many branches? نعم شليلة. 70. Over 70. 70 odd branches. أعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله, أدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق, والحياء شعبة من شعب الإيمان. The highest branch of Iman is a statement saying La ilaha illallah. The lowest branch of Iman is a physical action of removing something from the path, and Haya is from the branches of Iman. What is the difference between Ahlu Sunnah and between the Murji'ah when it comes to Iman? What is the difference between the Murji'ah and Ahlu Sunnah when it comes to the definition of Iman? So, one of the differences is that the Murji'ah believe Iman does not increase or decrease, whereas Ahlu Sunnah believe it increases and it decreases. A second difference, Abdul Basit. So they do not enter actions into Iman. Then they differ amongst each other. What is it? Whereas Ahlu Sunnah say actions are also a part of Iman. And then what are the six pillars of Iman? Now, who knows the six pillars of Iman in Arabic? Arkanul Iman. Now, Abbas, tafadhal. Ahsant. Wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi. And where's the evidence for those six pillars? Hadith al-Jibril al-Mashhur. And then after that we came to the first pillar, Al-Imanu Billah. And this is the Asl of Islam and the Asl of Al-Iman. In order for a person to have the correct Iman in Allah, he has to have Iman in four further pillars. So having Iman in Allah, it consists of having Iman in four pillars. And what are these four pillars? That comes under Al-Imanu Bil-Kutub. But in order for you to have Iman in Allah, what are the four pillars that you have to have Iman in? Bas. Al-Imanu Bil-Wujud, Al-Imanu Bil-Rububiyya, Bil-Uluhiyya, and Asma wa Sifat. So Al-Imanu Bil-Wujud is having Iman in the existence of Allah, the Supreme Creator. This is Al-Imanu Bi-Wujudillah. And how there are four ways by which we can prove the existence of Allah. Or there are four matters which indicate the existence of Allah. Adnan, can you remember? The Aql, a person's Fitrah, Al-Hiss, and Al-Hiss is that which we perceive around us, that which we see, feel, hear. And then the Shara, i.e. the divine books and the divine ayat which have been sent. So these four matters, they prove to us the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through your aql, tells us that there is a creator. because there can be no creation without a creator. So the existence of creation is an evidence for the existence of the creator. And your fitrah, the innate belief that every human being is born with, proves the existence of a creator. And then the shara, meaning the ayat which Allah has revealed, and their miraculous nature, proves the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, al-his, that which we see around us, and we feel and we hear, all of this proves the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is al-imanu bi rububiyyatillah? What is al-imanu bi rububiyyatillah? Or what is tawheed rububiyyah, Shalila? To single out Allah in His actions. In His actions which are exclusive to Him. Ifradullahi bi-af'alihi. Or ifradullahi bil-khalq at-tam, wal-mulk at-tam, wal-tadbir at-tam, ila akhirihi. And what is, and there are three names, or there are two other names for al-imanu bil-uluhiyya, or tawheed al-uluhiyya. This word al-uluhiyya, it has two other names. Sometimes they use it in the books of the ulama. Who knows them? Sometimes we say tawheed al-ilahiyya, sometimes we say tawheed al-ubudiyya, and sometimes we say tawheed al-uluhiyya. All these names, it refers to the same thing. And what is the meaning of tawheed al-uluhiyya or tawheed al-ubudiyya? What is the meaning of it? Now, what is the meaning of tawheed al-uluhiyya? Ifradullahi bil-ibadah. Or you can say ifradullahi bi-af'alika. Singling out to Allah in your actions. So your actions of salah and dua and tawakkul and zakah and siyam and dhabh and half taking an oath, all of these have to be sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And then finally, الْإِيمَانُ بِأَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. And this is to single out Allah in His names, in His descriptions, and His actions as well. And that is by affirming for Allah every name, every attribute, every description which He has affirmed for Himself in His book, or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam affirmed for Him. And it is to negate every name or every attribute which Allah or His Messenger have negated from Him. There are four mistakes there are four deviations which occur in Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. There are four deviations which occur in Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. What are they? The four deviations which occur. Ta'wil. Tahrif. First tahrif. And then? Ta'atil. And then? Takyif. Good. And then tamthil. So tahrif is to change the ayah. So for example, the Yahud, they will change the ayat. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِ يُحَرِّفُونَ. They used to make tahrif. Or it is changing the meaning. And changing the meaning, this is ta'wil. So tahrif is two types. Tahrif is either changing the actual wording. Like for example, some of Ahlul Bid'ah, they say, we don't say كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. We say كلم الله موسى. Because when you change the Dhamma on لفظ الجلالة Allah, then it changes from Him being the fa'il to Him being the maf'ul. Meaning, if you said كلم الله موسى, it means Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. Who is the one who spoke? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the word here, Allah لفظ الجلالة, it is fa'il because He has a Dhamma on top. But if you said كَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى, then it's as if you're saying Musa spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here you have affirmed speech for Musa, but not for Allah Jalla Jalaluh. Because this word now, اللَّهَ, it becomes مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ, because He has a fatha over it. So this is tahrif in the wording of the ayah. The second type of tahrif is when a person interprets or makes ta'wil of the meaning. And this is also a type of tahrif. So to say, for example, Ar-Rahmanu alal arsh istawa. The most merciful, he istawa alal arsh. Upon his arsh, he did istawa. The meaning of istawa in the Arabic language, it is known. It means ala, wurtafa'a. This is the meaning of istawa. To go above something. To ascend above something. This is the meaning of istawa. And then the Ahl Bid'ah, they will say, no, the meaning, we accept the wording istawa, but the meaning of istawa is istawla. And istawla means to conquer something. So they say, therefore, the saying of Allah that the Most Merciful made istiwa upon the arsh, meaning he conquered the arsh. Or he gained authority over everything. Not that he, in his that, he is above the throne Jalla Jalalu. It is only metaphorically speaking. And this is the meaning of a ta'wil. So whenever a person interprets an ayah away from the literal apparent meaning to a metaphorical meaning without an evidence, then this is called a ta'wil. And this is something which is not permitted. And then a takyif. And the meaning of takyif is to give a description to the attributes of Allah. Or to ask regarding the reality of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person says, I believe Allah rose above the throne, istawa al-arsh, kayf, how? How did he rise up? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a number of authentic ahadith, yanzilu rabbuna ila sama'i dunya. Our Lord, when the last third of the night remains, he comes down to the lowest heaven. How does he come down? But isn't the last third of the night going to change whether you're in the east or you're in the west? If you're in Japan or you're in Britain, the last third of the night will change all the time. So how is this possible? So this asking how, kayf, or giving a description to the attributes of Allah, this is called a takif. And this is also a deviation. And then finally, a tamthil. And the meaning of a tamthil is to liken or compare Allah or his attributes to the attributes of the people. And then after this we came to Al-Imanu Bil-Kutub. So Al-Imanu Bil-Kutub, what does it consist of? Having Iman in the divine books of Allah, what does it consist of? We have to believe that every single messenger was given a book. Some of the names of the books we don't know, some of the names of the books we don't know. So we know five or six which have been taught to us in the Qur'an. Ay the Qur'an and the Injil and the Zabur and the Torah and Suhufi Musa and Suhufi Ibrahim. The ulama differed, Suhufi Musa, is it Torah or not? So if we say Suhufi Musa is a Torah, then we know the names of five books. And if we say no, Suhufi Musa and a Torah, two separate revelations, then we believe in the names of six books. Also we have to believe, what else do we have to believe? That they are the words of Allah. So the Quran, Kalamullahi Haqiqa, it is the real words of Allah. Hurufuhu wa ma'ani, the words of the Quran, the letters of the Quran, the meanings of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with them. Ghayru makhluq, they have not been created. Minhu bada'a wa ilayhi ya'ud, from him the Quran came and to him it will go. Because some from the people of deviation, like the Jahmi and the Mu'tazila, they said that Allah does not speak. Or they said the Qur'an is something which Allah created. Or they said that the meanings of the Qur'an are from Allah, but the words are the words of Jibreel. Or the words are the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Qur'an was just an inspiration, or just the meanings come from Allah. And they did all of this to negate the speech of Allah. That Allah speaks with speech which is real and it is heard. And then after this, we came to Al-Imanu Bil-Rusul. And what is the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul? What is the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul? Tafadhal
akhi. A Rasul came with a book, and a Nabi just came to give a bayana to people.
So the Rasul, some of the ulama mentioned, is person from amongst the human beings, not created from light, but he was given a risala, meaning he was given a new sharia. And the prophets are those who ordered to convey the Sharia of the Messenger. So for example, Musa alayhi salam was Rasul, and he was given a Sharia which is in the Torah. Isa alayhi salam was a Rasul, and he was given a Sharia in the Injil. Between them were many different prophets. The prophets who came immediately after Musa alayhi salam, they came to remind the people and convey the people, but they were upon the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, until the Injil came, and the Injil it makes naskh of the previous Sharia. Tafadhal akhi. Yeah, Rasul. I a new Risale. This is one of the differences. Rasul. Naam. And then we stopped here. Who are the greatest of the messengers? Who are the greatest of the messengers? Ulul Azam. And Ulul Azam are the five great mighty messengers who were people of great determination and as-sabr, of patience. Fasbir kama sabara ulul azmi min ar-rusul. And they are of course Nuh alayhi salam, wa Ibrahim alayhi salam, wa Musa alayhi salam, wa Isa alayhi salam, wa nabiyyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this lesson we come to al-imanu bil yawm al-akhir. Having iman in al-yawm al-akhir, the final day. So in order for a person to have iman in al-yawm al-akhir, what does he have to believe in? Firstly, generally speaking, everything which occurs after death, and then everything which occurs on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that which will come after it. So a person has three abodes. The dunya, and this is the temporary short abode of this life, this world. And then the barzakh, and the barzakh is the abode between the ending of the dunya and beginning of Yawm al-Qiyamah, meaning your death. So when a person enters the grave, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he enters into his barzakh. And then there is, when the hour will be established, then it is al-akhirah. Then it is the hereafter, or the eternal abode of the hereafter. And in order for a person to have the correct iman in al-yawm al-akhir, first of all, he has to believe in everything which occurs after death. Because as-sa'a sa'atan, the hour is 2 hours. There is as-sa'at al-sughra, the minor hour, and then there is as-sa'at al-kubra, the major hour. So as-sa'at al-sughra, the minor hour, this is death. And as-sa'at al-kubra, the major hour, this is yawm al-qiyamah. And Dhunnurayn Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, he would say, "Inna al-qabra awwalu manazil al-akhira." That the grave, this is the first step or the first stage of the akhira. "Inna al-qabra awwala manazil al-akhira." "Inna al-qabra awwalu manazil al-akhira." And a person has to believe everything which we have been taught about regarding death, meaning how the angel of death makes the qabd of the ruh, how they take the ruh, and the difference between the soul of the righteous person and the soul of the disobedient person, and also the fact that the ruh is taken up. And then a person has to believe the various situations in the grave, like the questioning of the angels in the grave, and the reward or the punishment in the grave, and the expanding of the qabr and the restricting of the qabr for the person of iman and for the person of kufr, and also how a believer is shown his place in Jannah, may Allah make us from them, and how a disbeliever is shown his place in Jahannam, and so on and so forth. And these, the stages of a person's death, I advise you to refer back to the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, which is in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. And it is a very lengthy hadith, a very, very lengthy hadith, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described the stages that a person goes to from when his ruh is taken until his life in the grave and that which happens in the grave. It is called the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azim, and it is in Al-Musnad Al-Imam Ahmad and other than them. So refer back to that, and all the details are in there. And I mentioned generally that which occurs. And in reality, when Uthman radiallahu anhu used to say, إِنَّ الْقَبْرَ أَوَّلُ مُنَازِلَ الْآخِرَةِ, that the grave is the first step, the first stage of the Akhirah. Therefore, the Muslim who is intelligent, he realizes that his objective whilst he's upon this earth, and this is only a short temporary abode, isn't to build this dunya as much as he can. Rather, to invest this dunya in the Akhirah. And this is the reality of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى, that from the earth we created you, and to the earth we will return you, and then we will resurrect you from the same earth again. And the shortest of these three abodes is the abode of the dunya. So the abode of the dunya is shorter than the abode of al-barzakh, and then the abode of the barzakh is shorter than the abode of the akhirah. And only a foolish person would attach more importance to the shorter temporary abode than to that which is long term and that which will remain for eternity. So this is the epitome of safaha, absolute foolishness, that a person attaches more importance to a short temporary abode and he forgets and is negligent of the akhirah and that which will remain for forever. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's narrated that he said in the hadith of Abu Awfa Shaddad, Abu Ya'la Shaddad radiyallahu an, he said, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila laha wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. He said the intelligent person is the one who holds himself to account in this dunya, and therefore he prepares himself for the akhirah. Wal-ajiz man atba'a nafsahu hawaha. And the ajiz, the weak, the unable person, is the person who lets his self follow his desires. Watamanna 'ala Allahi al-amani. And then he has hopes upon Allah. Meaning he follows his desires. Allah is forgiving, Allah is merciful, He'll forgive. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared between the kayyis and the ajiz. So the kayyis, the intelligent person, mandana nafsahu, controls his desires, controls his self, doesn't lose his akhirah over the dunya, doesn't lose the eternal abode over the temporary abode. Wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. And the intelligent person is the one who uses this dunya for the akhirah. Like a farmer. This dunya, this world, it is like a farm. So what does a farmer do? He sows the seeds in the land. Does he expect within a day the seeds will sprout and fruit and vegetation will come? No. He sows it now because in 6 months' time he's going to harvest the fruit and enjoy that crops and the vegetation. And like this is how a Muslim should be. That this short temporary life sow the seeds for the akhirah. So in a short while, i.e. the akhirah, then you can benefit from that which you have done. So the Muslim has to invest from his time in this life for the akhirah, and invest from his money in this life for the akhirah, and invest from his youth and his enthusiasm and his power and intelligence and strength in this life for the akhirah. And not only this, if you do this, then Allah will give you also success in this life. If a person turns towards the akhirah and focuses himself on the akhirah, then Allah also gives you success in this world. So the asl is that what you do, you get rewarded for it. You work for the akhirah, you'll get something in the akhirah, nothing in this dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his karam and his generosity, is that if you focus on the akhirah, he will give you in this dunya. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he said, Inna fi dunya jannah. Verily there is a jannah upon this dunya. There is a jannah upon this dunya. Man lam yadkhulha lan yadkhul jannatul akhirah. And whoever does not enter into the Jannah of this dunya will never ever enter into the Jannah of the Akhirah. And what is the Jannah of this dunya? Al-Imanu Billah. Having Iman in Allah. Having Iman in the final day. And it is a Jannah in this dunya because it has a halawa. Because Iman, it has a sweetness and a delight to it. So whoever does not taste the sweetness of Iman in this dunya will not taste the sweetness of Iman in the Akhirah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Thalathun man kunna fihi wajada bihinna halawat al-iman." He said, three matters, three qualities. Whoever has these three qualities in him, he will taste the halawa of iman. He will taste the sweetness and the delight of iman. He said, "An yuhib Allah wa rasulah." He loves Allah and His Messenger more than anybody else. This is the first characteristic. That a person has to love Allah and His Messenger more than anybody else. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min waladihi wa walidihi wa nasi ajma'in." None of you will truly achieve iman until I am more beloved to him than his son and his father and the rest of the people. And then the second characteristic is, وَأَنْ يُحِبُّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. That a person loves another person, but he only loves him for the sake of Allah. So there is another person who comes to the masjid, for example. And you don't have any business dealing with him, no family relationship with him. But because you see upon him righteousness, and you see upon him birr and taqwa, it causes you to love him. And it causes you to love him more than those people who you know close, but they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this love of yours for this person isn't because of the dunya or because of business or because of a personal friendship. It is for the sake of Allah. And then the third characteristic, the third quality is, أَنْ يَكْرَهْ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَى الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهْ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. That a person hates, detests to go back to kufr. To go back to jahiliyyah. To go back to not practicing. Just as he would detest being thrown into the fire. Thalathum. These three qualities. Man kunna fihi. Whoever has these three qualities in him. Wajada bihinna halawat al-iman. Then he will taste the halawa of al-iman. And then after this you have to believe in everything which will occur after Yawm Al-Qiyamah. So for example, the blowing of the horns, or the blowing of the trumpets, in which everybody will die, and then everybody and everything which has died will then be resurrected. So this is from Al-Imanu Bil Yawm Al-Akhir. And also Al-Ba'th Ba'd Al-Mawt, the resurrection after death. زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا. The people of disbelief, the kuffar, they used to claim that they will not be resurrected. قُلْ بَلَا وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ. And Allah said, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by my Lord, you will be resurrected. So a person has to believe in resurrection, al-ba'ath or al-qiyamah. And also al-jaza wal-hisab. And the meaning of al-jaza is the accountability in front of Allah. جَلَّ فِي الْعُلَى. The accountability of the good deeds and the bad deeds. And then Al-Hisab is the recompense for it. The good reward and the evil punishment or the bad punishment. And then also believing in Al-Hashr, the land in which everybody will be gathered. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the people and he said that when it comes to the hashr, when everybody will be gathered, hufatan, uratan, ghurla, they will be resurrected, and they will be without any clothes, and will have nothing on their feet, and they will not be circumcised. And Ummul Mu'minin, Ummuna wa Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, a mother, father, child, all of them, and they're naked, and they're going to look at each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said, Ya Aisha, al-amru ashaddu min thalik. That on that day, the affair will be much more severe. It'll be so severe that nobody will look towards their mother and their wife and their child. Everybody will only be concerned with themselves. And then after this, also believing in the proximity of the sun, that the sun, it will be brought close to the people. And therefore then people will sweat according to the level of sins which they have. Also, for example, believing in ash-shafa'ah. And ash-shafa'ah is the intercession of the righteous on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And there are different types of shafa'ah. Some of them are only for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there is some shafa'ah, a type of intercession which is for all of the righteous people. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for him is a shafa'ah tul-udhma, the great shafa'ah. And that is for the hisab to begin. Because people will be in pain and difficulty, and they will go from messenger to messenger. So the first person they will approach will be Adam alayhi salam. And they will say to him that you are the first one whom Allah created. And you are the one whom Allah created with His hand. So ask Allah for shafa'ah. Intercede for us on behalf of Allah. And He will say, لَيْسَ الْأَمْرُ لِي. That this shafa'ah, it isn't for me. Why? Because I fell into a sin. So then He will say, اِذْهَبُوا إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ. Go to Nuh alayhi salam and go ask him. So then the people will go to Nuh alayhi salam. And they will say to him, اِشْفَعَ لَنَا عِنْدَ رَبَّكَ. They will say to him, seek intercession on behalf of us with your Lord. So we can move on to the next stages, so we don't remain here. فَإِنَّكَ أَوَّلُ الْأَنْبِيَا. Because you are the first prophet. And therefore this is one of the evidences that the first man was Adam alayhi salam, but the first Nabi and Rasul was Nuh alayhi salam. Because they will say to him, أَنْتَ أَوَّلُ الْأَنْبِيَا. You are the first of al-anbiya. And for this reason he is called Abu al-anbiya, the father of the prophets. And he will say, لَيْسَ الْأَمْرُ لِي. This affair isn't for me. Go to the next prophet. And then they will go from Nuh to Ibrahim to Musa to Isa alayhi salam to all of them. And all of them will say, لَيْسَ الْأَمْرُ لِي. This shafa is not for me. And then they will be sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when they go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he will go down in sujood. And he will remain in sujood for a long time. And he will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he is in his sujood. And then after a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, irfa' ra'asak. O Muhammad, raise your head. Wasal tu'ta. And ask what you want to ask and it will be given to you. Washfa' tushaffa'. And make your intercession on behalf of your people and your intercession will be granted. This, and it is a lengthy hadith, this is called Ash-Shafa'atul Udhma. And this is only for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is Al-Maqam Al-Mahmud. This is the lofty place or the lofty status which will be given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam so he can make shafa'ah for the people. And also, then after the process of Yawm Al-Qiyamah takes place, the people will come to the doors of Jannah. May Allah make us from them. And the doors will be closed. And then it will be the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who makes shafa'ah to Allah for the doors of Jannah to be opened. And then the third type of shafa'ah is the shafa'ah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will make for his uncle Abu Talib. That the punishment of Abu Talib, it is lessened. These three shafa'ah are only for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He has the exclusive right to make these three types of shafa'ah. So ash-shafa'at al-udhma, the great shafa'ah for al-jaza wal-hisab, and the shafa'ah to open the doors of Jannah, and the shafa'ah for his uncle Abu Talib, for his punishment to be lessened, these are exclusive to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then there is other shafa'ah, which the angels and the righteous and the ulama and the children will make for the other righteous people. And that is, for example, that the Muslim who was deserving to enter into the fire, they make shafa'ah for him in front of Allah, and so he does not enter into the fire. He enters into Jannah. Or, for example, somebody who has entered into the fire, that he has entered into the fire, they make shafa'ah and he is exited from the fire. Or, for example, that they will make shafa'ah for a person who is in Jannah, but they make shafa'ah so his ranks or his levels in Jannah, it is increased. These three types of shafa'a is for the righteous people. The people, the awliya, the people of taqwa, they will make shafa'a on behalf of other Muslims. And the shafa'a is only for the people of at-tawheed. And this is from the virtues of at-tawheed. We always mention at-tawheed. We should understand why we mention at-tawheed. Why are we so firm regarding and so enthusiastic regarding at-tawheed? Because on that day, when we will need intercession from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from the righteous people, only the people of tawheed will get this shafa'a. The people of shirk, there will be no shafa'a for them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu asked him, Ya Rasulullah, man as'adun nas bi shafa'atik? O Messenger of Allah, who are the people who are most deserving of your shafa'a on yawm al-qiyamah? He said, man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi. Whoever said la ilaha illallah with sincerity and ikhlas in his heart. And nobody can say la ilaha illallah with ikhlas in his heart except the people of at-tawheed. And also a person has to believe that this shafa'a, it is not asked from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, rather it is asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the difference between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Khurafat, the difference between the people of Sunnah and Tawheed and the people of Shirk and the people of Desires is that we believe in the Shafa'a of the Prophet. We don't negate the Shafa'a of the Prophet on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. But we believe you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whereas the people of Doubts and Desires, they believe that no, you have to ask the Prophet. You have to say, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger Allah, give us your Shafa'a. And this becomes a shirk. So as soon as you say, Ya Rasulullah, then you have supplicated to the Messenger of Allah, this is a shirk. But if you say, Allahumma, O Allah, bestow upon me the shafa'a of an-Nabi Yawm Al-Qiyamah, then this is what is at-tawheed. Also, a person has to believe in al-hawd. And the meaning of al-hawd is that pond upon the earth which will be given to the believers. And as for Al-Kawthar, Inna A'atayna Kal-Kawthar, then this is the fountain which will be given in Jannah for the people of Jannah. So the difference between the Hawd and the Kawthar, there are three differences. Firstly, the Hawd will be upon this earth and the Kawthar is in Jannah. Secondly, the Kawthar is greater in size and the Hawd is smaller in size. And thirdly, as I mentioned in some of the ahadith, water will be channeled from the Kawthar and to be brought into the Hawd. Also, a person has to believe in As-Sirat. And As-Sirat, it is Al-Jisr Al-Mamdood Ala Matni Jahannam. As-Sirat, it is that bridge which will be over Jahannam, Nasallahu Salaam Al-Afiyah. And this bridge, every single person has to pass over it without fail. The believers and the disbelievers, every single person has to pass over it. And then those who disbelieved, they will fall into Jahannam. And the people of Iman, they will pass over this path according to their sins. So the one who has less sins and used to make tawbah and used to make istighfar and Allah forgave his sins, he'll pass over it kalam' al-basar, like the glance of an eyesight. And others slower and slower and slower. Then after As-Sirat, after this bridge over Jahannam, there is another bridge. And this bridge is called Al-Qantara. And Al-Qantara is the bridge between or on the edges of Jahannam towards Jannah. And this bridge, only the people of Iman will come to it. Why? Because the people of Kufr have now dropped into Jahannam, Nasallahu Alaihi Wasallam Al-Afiyah. And so the people of Iman will go over this bridge according to their good deeds and their sins. Also, a person has to believe in Mizan, Mawazin al-Qist, the scales of justice which Allah will send down upon the earth. And that this Mizan, it has kaffatan, it will have two plates measuring the deeds of the people and the people themselves. And Allah said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. The one whose scales are heavy, i.e. the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, then they will have the beautiful, easy, pleasurable life. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٍ. And as for the person whose scales are light, meaning his good deeds are less and his sins are heavy, then he will have, then فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَة, then his abode is the fire. And Allah said, وَنَضَعُوا الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that on يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ we will bring down مَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ, the scales of justice. Also believing in the records which will be given, in the right hand for the righteous and in the left hand for the people of sinning. And also that person believes in Jannah and the fire and all of the descriptions of Jannah and An-Nar. Also connected to Al-Imanu Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir is believing in everything which will occur before Yawm Al-Qiyamah, which are from the signs of the hour. Ashratu Sa'a, the signs of the hour, believing in all of them. This is also from Al-Imanu Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir. So believing in Dajjal, Mahdi, Nuzul Isa alayhi salam, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, these are the major signs. And then the minor signs, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La taqumu sa'a hatta yakthur al-haraj. He said the hour will not be established until al-haraj becomes a lot. And he said, وَمَا الْهَرَجْ يَا رَسُولُ, and what is al-haraj, O Messenger of Allah? He said, killing and fighting and violence. And for example, the disappearance of knowledge, the disappearance of the scholars, and the spread of lying, and the spread of ignorance, and an abundance in earthquakes, and all of the other minor signs of the hour which have been mentioned. So all of this comes under Al-Imanu Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir. Generally speaking, everything which will occur after death, and more specifically the details of Barzakh, and the details of Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and the descriptions of Jannah and Jahannam, and Ashrat Al-Sa'ad, the signs of the hour. So if a person says, I believe in Allah, I believe in the angels, I believe in the Rusul, I believe in the books, I believe in Jannah and Jahannam, I believe in the grave and the punishment of the grave, but I don't believe the Dajjal is going to come, then this person's left the fold of Islam. Why? Because he hasn't fulfilled his Iman Bil Yawm Al-Akhir. This is a pillar from Al-Imanu Bil Yawm Al-Akhir. A person says, for example, I believe in everything, and the Dajjal, and Nuzul Isa, and the Mahdi, and everything which will occur, but the sun rising from the west and setting in the east, I don't believe in this, because science tells us X, Y, Z. So how can the sun rise from the west and set in the east? This person's left the fold of Al-Islam. And the answer to this person is very easy. That is it, what's more difficult? For the sun to rise from the west and go down the set upon the east, or for the creation of the sun in the first place? The creation of the sun in the first place is more difficult than the rising and the setting of the sun, and nothing is difficult upon Allah. So if it was easy for Allah to create the sun and make it rise from the east, is it not easy for Him to make it rise from the west? So this is a logical refutation of people who say this. Then we come to Al-Imanu Bil-Qadr. Al-Iman in the decree of Allah, خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. So we have to believe that all of good and all of the bad which occurs in this dunya, all of it has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The good has been decreed by Allah, and the harm and the bad and the evil which we see, it does not occur without the knowledge and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to believe that Allah has created the people and He created the actions of the people. He decrees for the actions of the people to occur. And there are two groups from Ahlul Bid'ah who opposed Ahlul Sunnah. Al-Qadariya and Al-Jabariya. Al-Qadariya, they said that Allah does not know the actions of the people until they do those actions. These are the most severe amongst the Qadariya. And then the least amongst the Qadariya, they said that Allah creates the people, but He does not decree their actions. Because if you say Allah decrees their actions, and people do good and do evil, then this means that Allah has decreed evil, and therefore He is an oppressor, na'udhu billah. So this was their thinking. The Jabariya, they said the opposite. They said man has no will at all, no choice at all. He's majboor. He's forced and compelled to do that which he does. Because Allah has the supreme will, and He knows what everybody else is going to do, and therefore a person is majbur. And this is also falsehood. Because if a person is majboor, then why did Allah create Jannah and Jahannam? Why did Allah give you a choice? In the essence, they said to you, if you do good deeds, you will enter into Jannah. If you do evil deeds, you will enter into Jahannam. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the messengers and the books? If everybody's forced anyway, then what is the benefit in Allah sending the message and sending the book and sending the warnings and sending the rewards? There's no benefit in all of this. As for Ahlul Sunnah, they believe that Allah has a decree, a mashi'a, a will, and this is the supreme will. And beneath the will of Allah is the will of the people. And Allah has given the people a choice to do good and to do evil. Meaning Allah has obligated upon the people tawheed, but then after that people have a choice. If you do good, for you is Jannah, and if you do evil, then for you is Jahannam. And there are four types of qadr. There are four levels of the decree of Allah. First of all, at-taqdeer al-aam. And this is the absolute decree. And this is what Allah wrote in al-lawh al-mahfuz. And this is the decree of Allah of everything which will occur up until yawm al-qiyamah. And this was done 50,000 years before the creation of any aspect of creation. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهِ الْقَلَمُ like in Sahih Bukhari, the first thing which Allah created was the pen. And then Allah said to the pen, أُكْتُبْ, write. فَقَالَ الْقَلَمُ, so the pen said, وَمَاذَا أَكْتُبْ يَا رَبِّي, what shall I write, O my Lord? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُكْتُبْ مَقَادِيرَ خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, write down the details of all of everything which will occur up until يوم القيامة. And this is the main decree. And nothing can change this decree. This decree, it remains. And then there is the second level of qadr, and that is at-taqdeer al-umari. That is the decree of a person during his lifespan. And this decree, Allah orders the angel to write it when a child is in the womb of his or her mother at 120 days. Like in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, أخبرنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he informed us, and he's the truthful one, and the one, it was testified that he spoke to truth. He said, إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما. That one of you, for 40 days, his creation comes together in the womb of his mother. ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك. And then he is a علقة for 40 days. ثم مضغة. Then he is a مضغة. And it becomes now 120 days. ثُمَّ يُرْسَلْ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكِ, and then the angel is sent to him. فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ رُوحِ, and then the angel blows the ruh into the baby. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ, and then the angel is ordered to write four things. رِزْقُهُ وَأَجَلُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ, his risk, and how long he will live upon this earth, and his actions, and whether he will be from the people of Sa'ad or from the people of Ashiqaw, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. So this is the decree which is written when a person is in the womb of his mother. And this is called At-Taqdeer Al-Umari. And then there is At-Taqdeer Al-Sanawi, an annual decree. And this is on Laylatul Qadr. That on Laylatul Qadr, every year, the decree for that year, it is written. And then there's also At-Taqdeer Al-Yawmi. There's also an angel who writes your decree for that which will occur in this day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ, every day he's in a shan. Every day there's a decree for him. So if we understand this, then those ahadith which says, for example, لَا يُرَدُّ الْقَدْرِ إِلَّا الدُّعَى, that nothing can change your decree except a dua. Does this now mean that if you make dua, your decree is going to change, your qadr is going to change? The ulama, they mention, as for at-taqdeer al-am, it does not change. That which is in al-lawh al-mahfuz, that which Allah ordered the pen to write 50,000 years before creation, this will not change. That stays as it is. But at-taqdeer al-sanawi or at-taqdeer al-yawmi, this is what changes. Maybe the angel wrote something for the year, and then you made a dua, and then Allah changes this decree. Or something was decreed for this day, and you raised your hands to Allah, and then Allah changes that which was decreed for this day. All of that is decreed already in التقدير العام, the absolute decree of Allah. And then finally, there are four stages in the decree of Allah. العلم والكتابة والمشيئة, and then الإيجاد. So the first step of the decree is that Allah knows. Allah has knowledge of everything before everything occurs. So Allah knows that which has occurred, and He knows that which does not occur, and He also knows that those things which don't occur, if they were to occur, how they would occur. All of this is with the knowledge of Allah Jalla Jalalu. And then the second step is Al-Kitaba, that Allah ordered the pen to write that which He knew regarding that which will occur until Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And then there is Al-Mashi'ah. And then there is when Allah actually wills it to happen when the time comes. And I'll make this clear. And then there is Al-Ijad. Then there is what actually happens. And I'll give you a clear example which some of the ulama use. For example, this phone here. So this phone, 50,000 years before the creation of all of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knew that I would buy this phone with this color, and at this time, in this place, I would raise it this high. All of this is known with Allah Jalla Jalalu. And then it was written. So it was written, the decree, that I will do this in this lesson, in this place, at this time, with this phone. And then now, in order for me to do it, Allah will for me to do it. Because if Allah did not will for me to lift this thing up, I will not be able to will it. And then now that I have dropped it, I've only dropped it because Allah has now allowed me to drop it. After He willed for me to pick it up, and He wills for me to drop it, because of the execution of Allah, I'm able to drop it. Why? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Because there is no might, there is no ability, there is no power without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the four stages of Al-Qadr. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.